Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said in our gospel reading, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell." I repeat, these are the words of Jesus. This is our text. I'll be honest that these words of Jesus are never the easiest ones for me as a pastor to preach on. As you already noticed, at least in the verses I read, there's almost zero gospel at all, entirely law. But I do want to say this to start with. Whatever Jesus says, whether law or gospel, he says for our benefit. That goes for everything that Jesus says, but especially for the hard things and the things we don't want to hear. We ignore them to our harm. When he disciplines us, it's for our good. It's always for our good. When he wounds us, it's not to make us hurt, but rather to make us whole. He's like a good physician. A good physician knows that some illnesses and injuries require the knife. I know it makes us scared when we hear that, but they know what they're doing, and we trust them. We also know that when we go under the knife, we'll probably feel worse before we feel better. But that's just how it goes. And then we'll often need follow-up appointments and more medicine, sometimes even for the rest of our lives. In fact, the best work done by a good physician may leave scars, even permanent ones, but they are scars that save. And if that's true of our physical bodies, how much more is that true also of us spiritually, of our souls? The more severe the illness, the more severe the remedy. Strong sickness, strong medicine. But you do know this about Jesus, and I think you ought to keep this in mind whenever you hear these words from our gospel reading. You know this about Jesus. You know that he loves you. And you know that he'd do the exact same thing to himself and more if it would help you. He'd give his right hand to save you, or his beautiful foot, or his precious eye. He would rather be crippled and lame and partially blind than enter life without you. And that's no exaggeration. But that's not all. He'd go even further. To save you, he'd be cut off out of the land of the living. He'd be thrown into hell, to the unquenchable fire and the undying worm. That's how far he would go for you. And I can tell you this right now, the devil and the demons wouldn't do that. Oh, they say they love us, but they don't. They say they're here to help us, but they're not. Everything the devil and the demons say, everything has poison mixed into it. And that's especially true of the things they say that appeal to us, of the things they say that make us feel good, of the things they say that we so desperately want to hear and believe. You know, the devil is the kind of doctor who sees a diagnosis of cancer and decides to treat it with candy. In the moment, it tastes good and we feel better, but it's not going to help. The devil is the kind of doctor who offers a second opinion, and he says that we can keep our hands and our feet and our eyes so long as we put ourselves entirely in his care. Trust me, he says, you can be true to yourself, you can have what you want, and you can live forever in a really warm climate. Two hands, two feet, two eyes, he says. Do whatever you want with them. No knife necessary. No scars needed. Feel good. Follow your passions. Be who you want to be. Just sign here before you read that fine print at the bottom of the page. If we're honest, the easier way does have its appeal at times. Would you rather go to the doctor that recommends surgery or to the one who gives candy? Too often, I'd rather go to the one that gives candy. Would you rather go under the knife and get rid of the sickness or keep all your limbs as well as the gangrene? Would you rather go to someone who tells you that you're just fine the way you are, or to someone who will tell you the truth, even when it hurts? I'll tell you right now, Jesus tells the truth every single time, even the hard truth. The devil, he lies, but his lies are oh so sweet. So whom will you trust? Which opinion will you take? Which path will you follow? Which doctor will you go to? Well, thank God that you're here today. Thank God that you're right here at God's triage hospital, where Jesus is delivering the medicine, and that you're not off in the devil's waiting room somewhere, ready to listen to his lies. In fact, you're willing to sit here for an hour plus, week after week, to listen to whatever this doctor has to say, and to let him do whatever he needs to do. This week, the first thing that he needs to do is to take the devil's fine print and blow it up, enlarge it, because he wants you to know exactly what it says. He wants you to see where that second opinion leads. He wants you to know the danger that you're in when you listen to the devil and his lies and place yourself into his care. So Jesus gives this warning. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. These words remind me of the American author Flannery O'Connor. Perhaps some of you have read her stories. She once said this about her writing, which has been called Southern grotesque, and it is often grotesque. She said, "To the hard of hearing you shout, and for the almost blind, you draw large and startling figures. To the hard of hearing, you shout, and for the blind, almost blind, you draw large and startling figures." And that's what Jesus is doing here. With these words, you could say that he shouts because he knows that by nature we are hard of hearing and we just won't get it. If he simply says to us, "Your sin is a problem," we'd go happily on our way. He draws large and startling figures so we can see just how grotesque and deadly sin is. He calls for amputation. He reminds us of the fires of hell. Once again, he's saying what he says elsewhere in the Gospels: whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the Gospels will save it. So which limbs in your life are candidates for amputation? Which members of your body are infected with sin? What are you so attached to that for it you would be willing to give up your faith? What things do you need to lose, give up, chop off before they drag you to hell? You cannot have your sin, delight in it, cherish it, and enter eternal life too. So this is how I respond when I hear these words, how you respond as well. We say, "Lord, if it's the knife that I need, then by all means wield it. If it's the knife that I need, then don't spare me, Lord. Don't spare me your care. Cut out whatever needs to be cut out. Diseased organs, infected members, sin-sick soul, pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, sloth, gluttony. Cut it out. And apply whatever medicine is needed. Then keep me in your regular care, like a good doctor. Keep me in your regular care. Keep me reading the daily prescription of your word. Keep me attending the weekly appointments you offer in your church. In Romans chapter 6, St. Paul explains what holy baptism means for our daily life. By baptism, he says, we were all baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. We have died to sin, that we might walk in the newness of life. And then he goes on to say this, let not sin reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Don't present your members to sin as instruments to write for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Your hands, your feet, your eyes. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Getting rid of the disease of sin and its hold on our lives requires more than an amputation. Taking off a hand or a foot, getting rid of an eye, isn't enough. Sin in us requires something even more radical. It must be drowned and die. And that's what baptism does. And that's what baptism is still doing in your life and in mine. And then St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians this about our bodies, this amazing word, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our bodies are not our own, to do with them whatever we want or whatever pleases us. Our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to God. Our members are not ours to use as we please, but as He pleases. For this doctor does require our entire bodies, head to toe, requires that our bodies be placed into His care. You might say, this doctor, of all doctors that ever have been or ever will be, this is a holistic doctor who knows us inside and out and who cares for us from head to toe, body and soul as well. He's a doctor who knows exactly what we need and who wants us to be what He has created us to be and who knows how to make us that. You were bought with a price. And that brings us back, of course, to our Lord Jesus Christ. For us to be what God intends us to be, Jesus had to do what He did. He took our sin on Himself. Took on Himself the sin of our feet and our hands and our eyes and all our members. The doctor took the sickness into His own body. It's an amazing thing. He took it on Himself, and then He cut it off by allowing Himself to be cut off from the Father. By allowing Himself to be cast into the depths as if He had a millstone tied around His neck, allowed Himself to suffer the eternal punishment for our sin. It happened on the cross. His feet were nailed. His hands were stretched out. His eyes were bloodied. And then at the ninth hour, He cried out with a loud voice from the depths of hell, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And He uttered a loud cry and breathed His last. Hell, forsaken by God, so that you would not be, and you aren't. That's the price He paid for your body, dear Christian. So treasure your body the way that He does and use it for good as He would have you do. Deny yourself, even if it hurts, and come follow Him because He loves you and He knows what is good for you and He knows what you can be and what you will be by God's grace. Better than being true to yourself, better than having all your members while believing the lies of the devil, is to be a child of God. And so you are. A child of God who is dead to sin, but free to live as that dearly beloved child in this world. So it's true that what Jesus gives you isn't candy. It's eternal life, the medicine of immortality. And I can't promise that what he gives will always make you feel better in the moment, or that it will always taste good, but I can promise you this, that it is always good. And it will be for your good. And even if you feel worse, even if you lose your limbs or end up with scars, remember the scars that he took on fighting for you. And remember as well that better is coming. He's not done with you yet, and he's not done with your body. He rose from the dead, and so will you, even as you live now in him and through him. And one day, get this, one day under his care, when you're laying stretched out on the hospital bed, he'll be there by your side as your eyes close again. And he'll finish what he's already begun in you. And then you'll wake up. You'll wake up, and your limbs will move, and your eyes will see, as they never have before. And all will be well forever.